Morning.
Welcome to the first Sunday of 2015. You know, the years just keep coming and the time keeps ticking away and it seems to bring all kinds of changes. Think about all the things that you have seen over your lifetime. I remember when my friend bought one of the early home computers that didn't have a disk drive. You actually had to put a cassette tape on it and hook it up to your TV. Come a long way since then. I remember when wireless phones meant the phone in your house. You remember you had to stretch out the telescope, the antenna on it. Now we got cell phones that are also computers and music players and book readers and who knows what else they're going to wind up. Oh, and GPSs and just about anything else you can think of that's electronic. You go to the rummage store, you can see some of the great new things of the past. I remember recently I was at a secondhand shop, and there was a big old console stereo, which at one time probably was the thing to have. You know, had four legs on it and a record player down in it. And over on the side, there was that slot for the 8-track tape, and that was. I remember when I was little, a guy I knew that lived upstairs in our apartment had one of those, and I just thought that was the coolest, most cutting edge thing you could have at the time. And then, of course, there were Betamaxes. And some of you young people probably have no idea what I'm talking about when I say Betamax. You can either use a videotape or that Betamax, and I guess the videotape one out. But now even they're gone, been replaced by DVDs and now streaming video online now. And so there's been a lot of changes. And I was thinking last week about how people used to envision what life would be like in the year 2000. I don't know if you remember that when you were growing up. They would reflect on what life would be like in the year 2000. When 2000 came, I thought about that and thought, it's nothing. It's different, but not the way we thought. We weren't living in an age where we all dressed like the Jetsons, were floating around and do that sorts of things. But there have been a lot of changes that have come. I remember one of the shows I used to watch on TV was Space 1999. I don't know if you remember that or not. People were living on the moon at the time, and there was this obsession with leaving the Earth. And now 2000 has come and gone. We're now here at 2015. We're still on this Earth. But our passion is not leaving the Earth for the stars, but our passion is leaving the Earth for heaven to go on and be with the Lord. You know, even with all of the changes that have come about over the years, our hope, our Lord, our faith is still the same. It's the one thing that we can depend on. It's the one thing that never changes. It's the one thing that is solid. And it's interesting when you, at each year, when you consider what's coming and what is gone, that you can turn on the TV. One of the things that people like to do, you've probably seen it in the last week, is look at where we've come, the top news stories or the top events that have happened over the last year. And so a lot of people like to do this year in review. And so I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, it'd be kind of a cool thing to do even among us. So this is going to be strictly from my memory, so hopefully I won't leave anything out. I hope at least I won't. So this is kind of our year in review. One of the things we first began to do at the beginning of last year was the food pantry. We had all come together in a meeting. We kind of brainstormed and of all the different things and the possibilities of things that we could do, and that was the one thing that we settled on as a group. We can do this. This is something that we're capable of doing, and this is something that we can do to try and reach out to people beyond the building. And as time went on, we began to hear from people in the community about how much they appreciated our food pantry, not only the fact that we were here, but in the way that we did it. And people felt valued. They felt like people. They felt something of the way that God values them in the way that we conduct ourselves here. And so there's a food pantry. And then there's the Sunshine Kids that's going on right now. And so a great thing for the kids to go back there and hear and get a lesson that's on their level. And they also have engaged in good works. And you remember the last one, big one, was that Operation Christmas Child, to send something to kids around the world, something that we would never even dream of that somebody might appreciate, you know, something like a pair of socks or a toothbrush or a comb or things of that nature and some other things, and to show them that somebody really does care about them and that God cares about them. And then most recently, getting involved, the community has come together and we've gotten involved with the shelter here in Leavenworth. And so many people in the community have come together and donated cots, pillows, and even the space that we're using for the homeless shelter. And several of us have elected to get involved with that, to go and help and to help man it. And then, of course, every year we do leadership training for Christ. We started that about 10 years ago is when we started doing leadership training for Christ. When Troy Thornton came down here from Omaha and introduced us to the whole concept. And I remember after those first couple of years, we began to see the results of some of the things that the kids were doing with their hands on the walls around the building, and the banners and the bulletin boards, and we saw them going out and doing service projects and prayer journals and Bible Bowl and Bible Quiz. And so this has been a great blessing not only to the kids, but also to the adults, so working together with the kids in pulling this off. Then every year there's also the city cleanup, and where our congregation has taken this section of town right across the street here to go and clean up all the trash. And it started out as kind of an LTC project, but it's not just for the kids, but it's also for the adults. And this was actually from last year. And I remember the second time we did this. One of the kids, Matthew. Allison remarked halfway through the cleanup, she goes, "I never thought it could be so fun picking up trash." And so just getting together and working together, I mean, it's great to be able to do the serve together. And then, of course, there was a teen life group that kind of ended at the end of last school year, because most of our kids have graduated and gone on. But that was always a highlight for us to get together once a week. And then every summer there's also Bible camp. Our kids either go to Nebraska Youth Camp. Not even quite sure how that started. I mean, it's 5 hours away from here, but several other kids go there. And then we have this also, we have a camp just outside of Topeka, Camp Tallgrass, where a bunch of people have come together and donated land and labor and materials to go ahead and put together a camp a little bit closer to home. And summer camp, Bible camp, is always a highlight of our kids' experience. It is a life-changing experience to be together with all of those other Christian kids, to sing, to be able to reflect on what it means to be a Christian. And a lot of kids sometimes wind up making their decision to be baptized while they're at summer camp. And then every year we also collect gifts that we send to those who are deployed overseas, and we've gotten word back that they really appreciate it. It kind of highlights they're not able to come home. In fact, that picture of that tree was actually for somebody. One of the things that get put into the box is a little tree, and so he took a picture of it and sent us a picture back on our Facebook and said, "I really appreciate what you sent. And so he took a picture of the tree that we sent to them over there this last time. Then, of course, there are our fellowships, our activities, and our potlucks, our picnics, and all kinds of making pies. I really happen to enjoy that. We picked up. We have our own apple tree and pecan tree out here in the front, and so getting together and when you have pies or any kind of food, it's always a good reason to come together. And we also have the communion that goes out to those that are not able to be here. We have some folks that want to be here are just not able to get out anymore. And so there are those of us in our number to go to visit them and also to take communion to them. And that's something that's very meaningful to them. Then, of course, there are our Bible classes, and including our time that we have on Sunday evening, which is, involves not only a period of worship, but also informal class discussion. And we've been doing apologetics and even discussed the possibility of doing a family movie night where we can invite our family and friends as well. And, of course, there's our time together every Sunday. We come together for worship, where we sing and worship God together and encouraged by that. And we even upgraded some of our machines around the building, and so we're making use of that, and graduated from the overhead projector to the video projector. Then, of course, every year we say hello and goodbye to families that move in and worship and serve among us, and
There is just an endless list of people that have come and gone, and we've been blessed by so many people. Though some of you are here just for a year, or maybe 2 or 3 years, and we're blessed by you, and you go on, and you're blessed by somebody else is blessed by you. And then, of course, there is the landscaping around the building, and the trees and the plants and the flowers out front, which make this a more appealing place. And those who clean the building, those who do the bulletin, and those who do a lot of other things behind the scenes. And so when you consider all of these things, there's a lot more going on than sometimes we realize. And I was thinking about some of the things that we've done in the past, the VBSs, the family, I don't remember what we ever called that, the Wednesday night VBS, where we just went did it on a Wednesday night, and it was sort of a family fun night or something like that. And matter of fact, I found that picture of that, 15-foot-long banana split that we made at the end, which was a lot of fun. And mission trips overseas, trips to Branson and caroling, and the list goes on. I could have put probably a million pictures on here. Well, maybe not a million. That was an exaggeration. But I could have put a lot more pictures on here of different things that we've done over the years. And so there's a lot of things that we can be thankful to God for, things that we've done, things that we've experienced, and things that we could continue to pray for. And I could just stop here and say, well, there's our kind of our review of where we have been, like a lot of reporters do. But I want to stop and just kind of reflect on some of this for a little bit and spend some time in biblical and prayerful reflection. It's not just to be nostalgic. And whenever you go to the Bible and it mentions things that have happened in the past, part of that is to encourage us, to motivate us, and to instruct us. And so I kind of want to do the same thing with this. And I was reflecting on Matthew chapter 25 as I was thinking about all of this. And if you want to go ahead and turn there, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 25. There are three parables in Matthew chapter 25. And oftentimes when we look at these, we read them in isolation. But to understand that all of this is a continuous narrative as you're going through Matthew. Jesus had been spending time telling his disciples about being ready for his coming. We need to be watchful, we need to be ready. And after he tells them to be ready and to be watchful, he gives them these three parables. And so we ought to look at them together and look at this single message that these three parables give us. And I think we're probably familiar with them. The first one he tells is the parable of the 10 virgins. And if you're not familiar with ancient wedding customs, so they were different than they are today because the wedding party would be waiting on the groom to arrive with his new bride. The groom would go and pick up his bride and do whatever arrangements he had to do with the family. And once they were done with that, the groom and the bride would show up at the groom's house, and they would all go in and have their wedding party inside. And so the wedding party didn't realize or didn't know exactly when the groom would show up. So they'd be waiting along the road, kind of in a wedding parade, if you will. And when he showed up, they would go on in, and the doors would be locked. And so the story is told of these 10 virgins. Jesus tells his story about these 10 virgins, and five of these young maidens, these young women, had extra oil for them in their lamps. That means it's late, it's dark. They don't know when he's going to show up. And there's another five that didn't bring any extra oil with them. And so, as they're waiting and probably visiting and anticipating the arrival of the groom and the bride, they get tired, they fall asleep, and then finally, in the middle of the night, somebody says, "The groom is on his way." And so they get up and they trim their lamps and they get ready to welcome the groom and his bride. And the five virgins, the five ladies that didn't realize that they didn't bring any extra oil, they're all out. And so they ask the five who brought extra oil, "Hey, give us some of your oil." And the five said, "We don't have enough for ourselves and for you also. You need to go find a shop." I don't know who's going to be open in the middle of the night, but you need to go find a shop and buy some. So they go out looking for oil. And somehow they found some. But while they were gone, the groom and the bride arrive, and they have their wedding procession into the house. All of them go inside, and the wedding festival begins. They lock the door and shut the door. And then the five show up and they're knocking on the door. I know we're late, let us in. And they're looking down, we don't know who you are. Who are you? All of the wedding party was there. They've already gone in. Who are these people? Are these wedding crashers? We don't know who these people are. And so they weren't able to get in. And of course, the obvious message is to be watchful and to be ready. You don't know when He's going to arrive. Jesus is coming back. We don't know when that may be. So we need to be watchful and we need to be ready. And then Jesus goes on and tells another parable right after that one. Parable of the talents. Now, if you have a 2011, does anybody have a 2011 NIV? I don't know if anyone does or not. It is not the parable of the talents, if you notice. It is the parable of the bags of gold. And I remember the first time I saw when they came out with a 2011 NIV, I thought, what? That is the strangest thing, bags of gold? I've always grown up hearing it as the parable of the talents. And it wasn't until I went and looked, what is a talent? That I understood why the translators made it bags of gold rather than talents. And part of it is because the word talent doesn't really communicate a lot to us. And when we hear the word talent, what do you think of? You think of your abilities. Okay? But that's not what a talent was. A talent was a measure. It was a weight used for money, for valuing money. And when you look at the value of a talent, it comes out to about $250,000, which would be about the value of a bag of gold. And so that communicates what Jesus was trying to get across. Because, I remember hearing, thinking to myself when I was younger, that one talent man, he just had one teeny little talent. But if one talent is $250,000, even the one talent wasn't something that was insignificant, right? And so the way Jesus told the story, he's communicating that the master has entrusted something of great value to all of his servants. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags of gold, and to the last one, 1 bag of gold. The one that had 5 was $1.25 million, and then $500,000, and then $250,000. So he has entrusted something of great value to his servants. And of course we know the story. The master went away and the guy with the 5 went out. He traded with it and he made 5 more. And the guy with the 2 went out and traded with it and made 2 more. And the guy with the 1 was afraid. He was scared. He didn't want to take any kind of risk whatsoever. And because of that paralyzing fear, he did nothing with that 1 bag of gold. And it says he went out and he buried it in the ground. And then the master returned and he started reviewing the accounts of these servants. And to the one who made 5 more, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. To the one who made 2 more, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. And then the guy with the 1 bag of gold, I knew you were a hard man. I know what kind of guy you are. And I didn't want to take that risk. And so I went ahead and I buried that bag of gold. And you know what? Here it is. I've dug it back up and here it is, just as you left it. Now it's obvious from the master's reaction, the owner's reaction, he didn't want it back just as he left it, right? He wanted it to be put to use. He said you could have at least put it in a bank and would have gotten some interest, but you did nothing with it. And he calls that 1 bag of gold man, he calls him wicked, lazy, and worthless. And he says, cast him out into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that unused 1 bag of gold, give it to the one who made 10. He'll make use of it. And the obvious message here is that God has entrusted something precious and valuable to us. And He wants us to make use of what He has entrusted to us. It's not meant for us to guard, but it's meant for us to share and to use. And sometimes, yes, it does involve some sort of risk. So what is it that we are talking about here? What exactly? Are we talking about the blood of Christ? Obviously, the blood of Christ is valuable and we need to share the message of salvation through Him. Is He talking about our bank accounts and our money and our possessions? Obviously, we need to share with those who have a need. But Jesus tells a third parable. And the third parable, I mean, we keep getting narrower and narrower here of what it is that he's talking about here. Parable of the sheep and goats. And this third parable, we have a separation process going on here. The shepherd calls and brings together all of the sheep and the goats, and he separates the sheep from the goats, and to the sheep he rewards them because they what did they do? They fed somebody, they gave somebody drink, they clothed somebody, they visited somebody. Who are these somebody that they did these things to? And to the goats, he separated them because they didn't feed somebody, they didn't visit somebody, they didn't give somebody drink who was thirsty, they didn't clothe somebody or visit somebody. Well, who are these somebodies? Well, Jesus identifies them as the least of these. Let's go ahead and read, starting with verse 34 of Matthew chapter 25. The king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. And naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty, or give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger? And when did we invite you in, or naked, or clothe you? And when did we see you sick, or in prison, and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they themselves also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So, the least of these, human beings, people that are precious to God, those bags of gold have been transformed into food and clothing and visits and drink and things that people need. It have been transformed into food pantries and homeless shelters and things that people need. And Jesus makes it clear, when you do it to the least of these, you're also doing it for Him. The way you serve Jesus is by serving other people. And when you refuse to serve other people, then you also refuse to serve Jesus. So the message is obvious here. The way that we are to be ready for His coming is for Him to find us doing this very thing when He returns. So what does this mean for us? What does this mean for us? You know, I used to hear, I don't hear it too much anymore, but I used to hear people say things like, "The church is not a social service agency." And I thought about that, considering this scripture, and I thought about how the church has been all throughout the ages to the very beginning. Do you realize that in ancient times, in the first 3 centuries of the church, the only social service you would find anywhere was through Christians? You didn't find food stamps or other sorts of things that people have today. The only social service was through Christians. Whether it was feeding those who are hungry, whether it was tending to those who were sick, or even help to bury your loved ones when you didn't have any way to have a proper funeral for them. These are the sorts of things that Christians did. And they had a huge impact on everybody. Because people realize that, hey, somebody does care about me. And they realize that, hey, God cares about me. And I'm valuable to God. Why did they do this? Well, I'm convinced it's because of passages like this that we just read. And I'm convinced it's because God has shown them compassion. And it's a reflection of the heart of God whom they now serve and worship. How many times do we see Jesus arrive at an area and He looks around at the people and He felt what? Compassion for them. And sometimes He would feed them, and sometimes He would heal their sick. Sometimes it would cast out a demon. Now, we can't do things the same way that Jesus did, but we can care for people. We can show people that they are valuable to God. And we can still tend to the sick. We can still feed people. Now, we can't multiply bread and fish the same way that He did, but there are other ways that we can multiply what we have. Matter of fact, it was due to all kinds of donations that we're able to give food away to people that are needed. I mean, there are other ways to do it. And so this is the sort of things that Christians do. You know, we talk about sound doctrine, but with sound doctrine also comes sound practice. And I believe that this is sound practice. I'm reminded of, when I think about all this, of a Mother Teresa. And I think everybody still knows who she is, even the young people. At least they've heard the name. And if you ever seen pictures of her standing in a group of other people, she was such a tiny little thing. You just look at her. If you didn't know who she was, you probably wouldn't think much of her. And yet, when she spoke, heads of state, heads of nations listened to her. She's probably one of the most well-respected women in the world. And you know why? Because of her compassion. And because of her compassion, she could have the ear of anyone in the world. You know, it's the same way with us. Like Jesus, who had the ear of the crowds, who showed compassion. Like Jesus, we can feed people bread and then also feed them the bread of life. Yes, our ultimate goal is the salvation of souls. Our ultimate goal is to share the gospel. But as we look at Jesus, we see that service and sharing the gospel go hand in hand. And I don't think you can effectively do one without the other. And so these three parables remind us of what it means to be ready. It's not just about sound teaching, but also about sound practice. And there are so many ways that we've been involved in serving in the name of Christ, and ways that, and more opportunities will come this year to serve in the name of Christ. In the meantime, keep in mind that the groom is coming. The groom is coming. And wouldn't it be a great thing, and won't it be a great thing, when He returns, when He finds us serving in His name? This life is just a drop in the bucket. He's coming back. And yeah, I know we're in the year, 2015. It's been 2015 years since He came to this earth. And we're counting time by Him. One of the most significant things in the world is when He came from heaven to earth and became a man and walked in our shoes and died on the cross and rose from the grave. And someday, He says, He's going to return. He's going to return, but we don't know exactly when. But 2015 years, still a drop in the bucket. And the major question is, are we going to be ready when He comes again? He could come in the next 5 minutes. And if you're not sure, and you believe that Jesus Christ did come to this earth and died on the cross for the remission of your sins, and you believe that He rose from the grave, and you're ready to accept Him as your Savior and as your Lord and let Him rule your life, you're ready to come back here and let Him wash away all of your sins. And if you've already done that, then who are we? We're servants. We follow in His footsteps. We show the compassion of Christ to people because they are valuable to God and therefore valuable to us. So whether it's a food pantry, whether it's a homeless shelter, whether it's LTC, Sunshine Kids, and the list goes on and on. Whatever it is, we use the opportunities that God places in our hands and we don't bury them in the ground. So as we continue into 2015... ask God to open your heart to opportunities to intentionally serve in the name of Christ. We're going to go ahead and sing a song this morning. And if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, please come as we stand and sing.